I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You have a wonderful Wednesday. Welcome into Fesco and Dusty. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you on this should be a glorious Wednesday. A little Royals action at 2:45. Supposed to have good weather. Mow your damn lawns if you have to today, because it's just going to rain all weekend.
Can we cancel Memorial Day and move it to another weekend? I mean, we're still taking Monday off, but we're changing the holiday to a different day, because this weather weekend's going to suck, man. I was telling Dusty before the show, everything we had planned for this weekend has already been canceled. It was all outdoor activities.
Damn.
And everybody's looking at that weather and going, man, this weekend's going to suck. And it is cold, rainy, raw, damp, nasty.
Raw.
I don't want it, man. I don't want it at all this Memorial Day.
What raw is?
You're 37 years old and you don't know the term raw when it comes to weather. I mean,
Mac,
never,
do you know?
I'm not gonna lie, Bob. I don't know for
really
sure.
Cold, 913, damp. Five. You've never heard that term raw before.
I don't think so.
All right,
raw.
I don't hate it.
I mean, I'm
Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast Psychopedia,
available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Heard raw, like, you know, some people cook your steaks. You know, sushi Monday night, raw. Raw weather never registered. And I'm a man of learning new things every day. Like cold as hail.
That was
it's
a good
not
one.
Cold as hell. Did you know that?
Love that.
T-I-L. Cold as hail. Because hail is frozen. Am I supposed to be like dumb for just realizing this?
No, I think everybody realized that one too. Who the hell says cold as hail? I mean, nobody's ever said that.
It's cold as hail.
You think they say hail because they're from the Midwest or the South and they got a twang on them, right? It's cold as hail out here in Missouri.
Yeah, cold as hail. And then they look it up and tell you, yeah, hail is a frozen substance, so it's cold because hell is fire and brimstone.
That's right, because it never made any sense. True. It's cold as hell. What do you mean it's cold as hell? That doesn't make any sense, right?
I was blown away
by that. It's
actually
chomping at the bit.
Champion. KMBZ.
Any new carpets?
I am a digital sheriff. That's all true as well.
Yes.
This weekend could be a little slop pit. Could be a slop dog of a weekend. Well, that's why you just do inside activities, you know? What you guys did on Tuesday.
I just wanted to debut the grill.
I wanted to have the outside.
Why can't you debut the grill? You have a propane grill.
Yeah, but it's hard to cook outside in the rain.
When it's raining.
You ever heard of an umbrella?
Yeah, I guess
you don't really want to do that, though. I understand where you're coming
you
from.
The umbrella, you flip with the tongs. It's really not hard.
Nah, I get it, man. I'm with you. The
it's
rain,
not
it's
the
just,
vibe.
It,
yeah.
it's re- you're exactly right. It,
you
it's not.
It's going to rain Friday and never stop until Tuesday.
It is. It's going to be terrible out there. So I'm with you on that. You don't want to go outside and grill and do all that kind of stuff. Like, it does. The weather kills the vibe on everything. Like, if it's not a nice day, man, the vibe is done. And especially for a holiday, man. We're celebrating the beginning of summer and everything that goes along with it, and it's going to be 65 and raining. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be 80 and sunny. Let's go.
We'll be all right. At least the Royals aren't in town. They'll be in Minnesota. Hopefully it doesn't rain there, but I would assume that if it's here, it eventually will be there. But, hopefully low chances. Hopefully it misses it. At least living in Lee's Summit. Sorry, Kansas guys. We have the Togonoxy split, so we never get hit with anything severe. It always just kind of parts its own way.
They'll start calling that the new Chief Stadium split out there. That's about where it's going to end up.
Togonoxy? The Togonoxy Chiefs?
Yep.
That'd be interesting.
That's what their high school is, the Chieftains.
I have no idea. I don't even know where Togonoxy is. I just know it splits weather in half, and we never get any good weather, so... That's the only thing I know about that. I think Alex Gold even references it because he says he grew up close to Togonoxy.
He did not.
That's what he said.
No, he did not grow up close to Togonoxy.
He says he's a tong man. That's what they called each other back then. We're tongs. Tongs, stand up. Let's go out and party. Here comes Gold. Not sure how much of the Royals game you guys watched last night. It wasn't really exciting, but typical 3-2, a loss. By the way, did you tail the parlay? You didn't. You would have won money last night. Your boy, $50 winner last night.
Good job.
Under in the first game of the Western Conference Finals. Under in the Royals game of eight. No runs in the first inning. Royals are San Fran.
Nice.
Boom, boom, boom. Is it good?
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
Did you end up doing the chicken gyros?
I did. They didn't. Wasn't good.
Oh no.
The pita wasn't good.
Where'd you get the pita from?
I just grabbed it off the shelf. I didn't know which one to buy, so I just grabbed a pita off the shelf, and then
tzatziki sauce.
Yeah, but it was just a mess yesterday. Okay. A lot going on, and you know, actually the house started on fire. I couldn't find the fire extinguisher yesterday.
What?
Yeah,
buried
the lead.
Nah, it's not really. I mean, it was
kind of.
Well, you know, I was like taking the pan off, and I dropped something on the burner, and it's an electric burner, which sucks. I know, but this is what we have because they want $6,000 to put in gas or something. I'm not paying for that. So something fell on the burner. The flame started. I'm like, I can't. And of course, my wife doesn't answer the damn phone when I'm calling, you know, because I have too much to do. I can't worry about what you're calling about because it's insignificant. Meanwhile, the house is on fire. But you know, I never found it. And so I was able to put it out, had a wet rag, and I just kind of threw it on top of the fire and was able to put it out. But I'm like, oh my God, this thing, you realize how quickly these fires go. I mean, like,
it's a grease fire.
In an instant, like, it is like, boom. I mean, I waited like a couple of seconds because I was doing something else and figured. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to get this thing moving and put this thing out. So
scary.
You know, yeah, I mean, that message to everybody, be careful out there. Know where your dang fire extinguisher is. And if you don't, go look for it this morning and make sure you have it. Yeah. Because I was like, I was seconds away from going, I don't know what I'm going to do here in this situation.
Throw flour on it.
Is that what it is? Flour? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was able to get a wet rag over the top of it and put it out. It wasn't that big of a fire, but I mean, in another 30 seconds, another 10 seconds, probably, who knows? It probably could have gone up the back wall of that, that stove. So, yeah, it was a little wild for about 10 seconds yesterday and, you know, figured it out. So make sure you know where everything is in your house, man.
Still going. Still strong.
Whew.
That's a raw story. Have you ever had a fire in your apartment or your house or anything like that?
So you don't know a term, and now you're going to mock me for it all morning long,
no.
I guess, right? Like, I mean, like, raw is a very common term when it comes to weather. I mean, I've heard that for my entire life. People say, oh, it's a raw day outside. It's damp. It's dark. It's cold. It's nasty.
In the context of weather, raw generally refers to unpleasantly cold and damp conditions.
There you go. When is the date of origin of that word? It doesn't have like the graph where it shows you like by year. Because you know, you can look your name up and see like when your name was popular and when your name fades out.
Mm-hmm.
My name hasn't been popular since 1976. Somehow 87, it came back for one shot and it failed immediately. No one's called Dust anymore.
No one's called Robert anymore. I'm sure nobody's called Mac either. Jaden, Aiden, Braden, Caden. Those are your names.
That's it.
Aiden, Braden, Jaden, and Caden. Go look at any roster for any youth league baseball team. There are two Aidens. There are two Jadens. There are three Cadens on the team. I mean, did you see the Tennessee Titans drafted two Jadens and a Jalen? I mean,
that's awesome.
Bang, bang, bang. Jaden, Jalen, and Jaden. I mean, those are the names right now. Mason, Grayson, those are names as well that are very popular right now as you go through the life and you start to see what the kids are being named these days. And 10 years from now, when you all have kids, it'll probably be a lot different in names that we don't even know that are out there right now that people are going with.
North, west,
all the directions, colors. Yeah, who knows what it's going to be? Or we're going to revert back to Jim, Joe, Bob, Dustin, Mac. You know, all the names, Peter, that we had long time ago. Kind of cyclical like that. But right now, we're in the age of Aiden, Jaden, Braden, Caden, Grayson, Mason. Those are the names.
We need more Stubbies.
We need more Stubbies.
Yes, we do.
I don't think that's a great nickname for somebody, though.
You need some, like, Edgars, Stubbies. By the way,
Edgar needs to come back as a name, too.
Edgar.
Yeah.
Call him Ned. I will say this. Mac Otrero, 9 o'clock today. Jay Binkley at 6:45. Big, big retirement day, by the way, Mac. You don't know this. Today's Bob's last day in the carpool lane.
It is. Yeah, today is it.
This is his retirement at 9 o'clock on the air today.
That's huge.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, it is bittersweet.
Yes,
because your kids are growing up, man. It sucks. It sucks. Like my daughter, the last couple of days, now that soccer's over, been picking up my younger daughter. I'm like, I'm going to take today. And they're like, why? I'm like, it's the last day I'm ever picking up my kids at school.
Dang,
that's crazy.
Think about that. Let that sit in for all you parents out there that are excited about the last day of school. And we all get excited, you know, about not being in that carpool lane for a couple of months. But that's time that's valuable to be with your kid, just for a couple of minutes a day. And this is it. I'll never do this again today. Like, this is one of those lines of demarcation you envision when you're picking up in kindergarten and nobody's following the rules. And you deal with these nitwit parents and their silver minivans and all this kind of stuff. And then you realize, man, that's awesome time with your kid. You know, it's a couple minutes. It's not a long period of time. But this is it for me. Like, this is the end of an era this morning for me. And I sent my daughter a text about it. I go, this is it. Today's the last day I'm going to pick you up. I've loved watching you grow up. I love watching them both grow up. I mean, you know, freshman year of high school's over, eighth grade's over. I'm not picking them up anymore. That part of my life is done. And that sucks. I mean, it sucks, but it's good. You know, it's fun to see them grow up. It's cool to be a dad. It's cool to see the kids, you know, take that next step and whatnot. But man, like, being a dad and seeing the time just dissipate, you know, not to make a joke, but seriously, yeah. Like, just dissipate right in front of your eyes, it sucks. It hurts. It's like, man, I can't believe it. Like, just yesterday they were born, you know, and now I'm getting a little emotional about it. I'm not going to lie. I am, and I think every parent's that way. Like, they always say the days are long and the years are fast, and, you know, the days have been really long and the years have been too damn fast, man, and so... Mm-hmm. It's raw, man. I can't believe I'm getting emotional about it, but yeah, I am. I mean, this is it. It sucks. It's fun, but it sucks at the same time, you know? Yeah. Fun to see him take that next step. Fun to see him grow up. Fun to see him do that thing, but it hurts as a dad, man. Like, you're losing your kid almost.
No,
I'm not.
No.
It feels that way.
You're getting a young adult, though. You kind of are losing a kid. You're getting a young adult.
I got two designated drivers now, so I'm very good at that.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
You're gonna have a text after the show. Hey, sorry about, you know, the emotions for your thing.
Yeah.
You think you could give me your daughter's number to Maloney? I need some pickup sometimes. Have a good day, Bob. Flex.
That's already been texted in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you go from all this emotional stuff. I got two designated drivers for the summer now that they can drive me around. So you go from pregnant wife to teens. Yeah.
To Maloney. You go from picking up kids to a kid getting picked up by kids.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I know that. It, not the same feeling, but I remember, like, driving to Warrensburg, commuting my last year, being like, man, one day I'll never have to make this drive again. It's going to be awesome.
Right.
And then you turn in your books and you take your last exam and you're like, oh, I'm going to miss this 13 highway drive. This sucks. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to drive home.
Because reality sets in. Like, yeah. You know, life doesn't get easier when you grow up.
No, Max said it perfect the other day when he was like, my sister was crying after she graduated because, like, life's about to hit you and, like, you don't get a warning. It's like 98 in your face and it's going to hurt and you don't have any way to prepare for it. And people can tell you all these things to plan for. But no matter what, it's like you open the door on the first day of life and you're like, oh, shoot.
It sucks. I mean, it really does. I mean, you have the closest experience to it because you're the youngest of the room. And I remember when life hit me for real, too. I left Lawrence, Kansas, driving to Texas. I cried my eyes out doing that because, you know, you're on to this next step. And let's be honest. I mean, it's not exactly a great time to be beginning your adult life. You know, it sucks. The world is not a great place right now, as we all know.
I think it's cool that you recognize those moments, though, Bob, and tell your kids about it, though. That's really important.
Yeah.
As they know how important these things are, and because they're 15, so they know everything, but it's like you're instilling these values and these things now. It's really cool.
Yeah, like you complain about having to do all this kind of stuff and it stinks and you're like, oh my God, I got to deal with these people. And most of the people in the parking lot give me anxiety because they're very selfish and they don't care about the rules and all that kind of stuff. But I remember just, you know, sitting there and watching their little faces run down from kindergarten or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it goes by in the blink of an eye. And here we sit on the last day that I'm going to be picking these kids up at school. It hurts, man. It really does.
I hope that one person that's always a jackass in the carpool lane shows up today and does something stupid because you'll never be there again. You'll knock on the window one last time. Hey, David, guess what? Everybody effing hates you. You're a piece of blank.
Did you see
that video last night? I can't wait to see you tomorrow, Bob. Yeah, you'll never see me again.
Never see me again. Did you see that video of the Amazon driver at the person's house?
With the step?
Where she goes, you're the worst human being on earth. You order all your stuff from us. You're so lazy. I mean, went off on this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it was outstanding.
Maybe I hadn't seen that one, but I know I've seen one because there's somebody that always wants their stuff at the front door, but they have a little step, and they have to take the dolly over the step. And one of the Amazon drivers went to their Ring app, and they're like, dude, F you. Like,
yeah, it might have been the same person. It was a woman yelling, and then they showed a man just throw the step.
Because she requests to have her boxes on the door,
right.
And they have one step down. It's like, you come get it from the step.
Like, and the woman's ordering like cases of water and insane stuff that you don't like. I mean, it's awful. I mean, these people went off on this person.
Well, we need to get back in the winning lane. Today, the Royals look to take the series. Last night, we'll discuss because there is certain things that stick out. Plus, how many legit contenders are there in the AFC? Honestly, I feel like we all will have a different answer, and maybe you as well. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
On a Wednesday here on Fesco and Dusty.
L Tuesday.
Take that L, baby. This is Fesco and Dusty, not the drive to Carrington Harrison, I promise. Even though the web stream might say that, but you can like and subscribe on YouTube. It goes straight to the top of your page every time, so you don't have to search for it. You can be like Rob Maloney. Yes, that's his third shout-out of the morning. Sorry if you don't like it. Deal with it. The lights are on, but nobody's home yet, but he'll open up at 11 for you. And have it on the TV, and he can replay it and replay it and replay it. And that's the thing too. You can pause it, go do your stuff, come back to it and do it as right back to where you left off. But the Royals last night, right? Okay. Playing late today. They play at 2:45, little, opener session. Matt Cotrero, the Royals manager, will join us at 9:00, but Daniel Lynch gets the slab today against Jeff Webb, I believe it is.
Who?
Matt Webb. Matt Webb?
No. I don't know. You could have said Jeff, Matt, Bill, Tom, Al, Aiden, Ty. Jane, Braden, and Caden. I would have had no idea.
Ty Webb?
Ty Webb would have been fantastic as well. Mac, do you know who Ty Webb is or not? No, doesn't know that guy.
Logan Webb, sorry.
Logan, yes.
I thought he had local ties. I don't know what that means or why he would have
Logan
it.
Logan Webb.
I don't know why.
The name sounds familiar, but yeah. I don't know. Like, he played for the Giants back in the day, and he's still there. That's maybe the reason why I know that name, but
he's legally blind.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Logan Webb is considered blind.
The guy pitching today for the Giants is blind?
He was diagnosed in third or fourth grade.
Well, okay, let's stop. Yeah. Hang on a second. Why is this the first time I'm hearing about a blind pitcher in Major League Baseball?
You know Scherzer's eyes are two different colors.
I do know that, and I know most umpires are blind, but I didn't realize we had a blind pitcher today.
But you could be technically legally blind and still see fine, right? It's like one of those vague like things that they say.
Like, yeah,
I'm legally stupid, but I'm able to like
continue on with this because I clearly can see the wheels spinning. Like you've got a story on this guy being blind.
I don't know. They discover it in third or fourth grade. He wore glasses forever. They finally switched to contacts, but he still wears glasses during the games.
So
for the right vision is what they say.
For the right eye vision or the right vision. How'd you guys do today? Oh, we lost to a blind pitcher.
He still wears them for night.
Night vision. Okay, well, it's a day game out
there.
That
seems like a cheat code. Yeah, he's got, like, the infrared.
Exactly. Yeah, like, what's going on out there?
He's, like, looking at people like he's the predator.
I mean, good Lord. Blind pitcher. Honest to God, I had never heard of that story before in my entire life. That makes the game even more intriguing today.
Yeah.
You better beat this guy. He's blind.
He's got that, he's got that predator vision.
Man.
I'm sure you've never seen that movie with Arnold and Jesse Ventura.
I've seen Predator.
I don't have time to bleed.
Yeah.
That's what the Royals do. You just come out soaked in mud, and he doesn't know if they're in the right batter's box or left batter's box.
Oh, my goodness. That would be funny, too. Yeah. Thought that was a right-handed guy, right? That's a great story, man. Like, why? Honest to God, why haven't we heard more about that? If that was the NFL and there was a blind quarterback that was overcoming that to play quarterback in the NFL, we would know everything about that guy. Like, this is where Major League Baseball fails. It's not, talking about the star players. It's talking about a guy who's overcome a lifetime ailment, basically, and is pitching in the big leagues. I mean, that's a great story to share with people, right?
I mean, the NFL has the Dolphins and the Falcons playing each other because both quarterbacks are left-handed. They'll make a story out of anything.
It's true. They will do something like that, right? But my God, that's an unbelievable story.
Is his right eye?
Is it? Yeah, I guess so.
So his blind side's his right side?
which would make sense because he's right-handed. So his left eye.
So his left
eye
is his dominant eye. Yeah, okay. So, but that's, I mean, like, that's good for kids who are growing up. Like Jim Abbott, when he pitched without a hand, I mean, like, not a lot of kids are growing up without a hand and whatnot. Well, but it's inspirational for somebody. Like, you're dealing with something. You don't think you can overcome it. Hey, this Logan Webb guy is pitching in the big leagues, and he's blind. Like, holy cow, if he can do that, man.
You can have that side of the story, or... By golly, if this offense can't hit off a blind guy,
it is what it is
the rest of the year.
That's right. Like, yeah, you can take that as well, right? Yeah.
Royals, you're up to bat in the ninth. They've got zero runs. The pitcher's blind. I did not make that up, Steve. Here's the scores. All right. I mean, if you can't get four runs off a guy who has one eye.
Oh, like, man.
Come on.
Hey, it's unbelievable. I'm mad at myself for not knowing this, but I'm more disappointed in baseball for not knowing this story. This should be one of your top players that you're promoting and talking about. Like, this guy's overcome one of the toughest things ever to be a professional athlete.
Imagine Good that guy Lord. Last night's name wasn't Birdsong. It was Birdseye, and this guy doesn't have a right eye.
Yeah.
Good hell. But, yeah, that offense, man, I think we need to see Michael Garcia go up in the lineup, and I think we need to see Salvador Perez get about a day or maybe two.
Well, you said it yesterday. Give him today off and tomorrow off because they're off tomorrow, right?
Yes,
and then you start Friday in Minnesota, and I love that idea. I think it's a brilliant one, and I think that has to happen again. Salvi, again, 0-for-4. He's 2-11 or whatever he's hitting right now.
It ain't good.
It's not good. Really, the only player that has been consistent in this entire lineup recently has been Michael Garcia. Man, that guy's up to like 310, 312, something of that nature now. He's one of those guys that you see come up to the plate with the bat and you just feel like he's going to get a hit, and that's the guy you want batting fourth. That's the guy you want batting, you know, behind Vinny and Bobby in that order to keep, you know, some of these guys honest, some of these pitchers honest. And, you know, Salvi right now is not a guy that you have to worry about in this lineup, and it sucks to say that, but that's the reality of it right now. There's not a lot of guys. Like, really, the two or three guys that you got to worry about in this lineup right now: Kyle Isbell, who continues to do Kyle Isbell type things, and then you've got Michael Garcia doing unbelievable things this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy is dominating right now. And then obviously Bobby, he's only hitting 301 at this point and had a nice little beat out yesterday of the infield hit. But I mean, like, you expect Bobby at 325, 330 right now. So it's like everybody in the lineup is having their struggles, you know, with this team right now. But guys like Michael Garcia, guys like Kyle Isbell, they're playing really well right now. I would move them up in the lineup, and I would give Salvi that day off. We'll have a conversation, as you mentioned, with Q coming up at 9 o'clock if he's over Norm's death, and we'll see what he's going to do with Salvi. But I mean, maybe it's one of those things too, Dusty, where you go, he's Salvi, he'll figure it out.
Yeah, but
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know, man, because, you know, Sal's averaged out of 213, Bobby 301, Michael Garcia 310, and then your surprises in the bottom of the order, which I do kind of like. Waters and Kyle Isbell hitting that 8-9 slot, because it kind of gives you that, I don't know if it, like, it necessarily extends your lineup, and I know there's a lot of people that probably would like to see them hit higher up, but when you go Waters Isbell and you come back up with India, which I think that should be Garcia, if I'm being honest. Because if Michael Garcia is hitting the ball at a rapid rate, which is nice, and those two guys in the bottom of the lineup are kind of like the coffee and carrot cake for dessert after you've had your main course, like, one of those guys is most likely to get on. If Garcia gets on, then there's not really a ton of pressure for India because he's not hitting that leadoff spot. So then you go to Bobby, and if you get that sort of rhythm going, that's just where I would like to see a shakeup. It's just, let for about a week straight, let Michael Garcia hit leadoff, let Bobby hit second, let Vinny hit third, and then maybe you let Mark Canna hit fourth because he's not doing that terribly.
Hitting well, too,
he's
man.
Doing all right. I mean, he's
close to 300 on the year. Yeah, like, he's having a nice season.
He's doing okay for what he's doing.
Yeah.
But again, like, Mark Canna and maybe in that spot at a 286 hitter, that's better than what Sal's doing at 213, where we've got a month on a home run. He missed out on a hanger last night in the first day. That pitch, I've seen Salvador Perez hit 435 feet multiple times. And last night, that ball was right there on a platter from a young, inexperienced pitcher, and Salvador Perez whiffed on it. And that's a ball, and I'm not the only one with that opinion, because around Twitter last night as I watched that game, I'm like, I wonder if anybody else is as harsh as I am on Salvador Perez right now. And, you know, I mean, that thing, which just is 86, you know, should have been licking his chops, no contact, again, over the plate. I don't know if he's 100%. I don't know that, honestly.
We could ask Q at 9, but I feel like today's a good day to take off. You get Thursday off, and then Minnesota Target Field. We all know Salvador Perez rakes there. That's the easy course that he can get his driver back. He can get his feel back with his wedges and start to actually feel the game out. But
and that makes a lot of sense. You know, it really does. I think it's a great idea. It's okay to tell somebody, hey, you need a day off. It's okay to have somebody sit down and take a break and give them that mental break, because I'm sure with Salvi, with anything right now, it may be physical because he is 35 years old and things do tend to slow down a little bit, but it could be also a mental thing right now too for him. And having that mental break and that rest, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs it. You refresh yourself, right? You come back and you're ready to go on Friday when you go up to Minnesota. Now, if he goes to Minnesota and he goes 0-12 in this series, then that to me would be a bigger conversation.
Then you're getting a week.
Piece.
You're not getting a bye. You're not getting a day. You're getting a week.
Well, it becomes one of those fake disabled listings, you know, where he's battling a sore something or other, and you give him a couple of weeks off just to kind of find himself a little bit. But again, this is why I hate to be the I told you so guy with the enjoy it while it lasts, because we were talking in the break about, you know, some of these competitive teams and that are legit competitors to the Chiefs in the AFC, and we'll get to that in just 1 second. And there's one team that I don't think is a competitor anymore, and I think they missed their window. And so that's why you have to enjoy this stuff, because a year ago when we started this season, we were talking about Salvador Perez Hall of Fame candidacy, right? Mm-hmm. And not to say that that's gone, because I don't think that's gone at all. I still think he's a Hall of Famer, but I'm going back in my notes and trying to figure it out. It was like 20 some home runs and 70 RBIs, right, to get to 300 and 1,000 or something like that. He wasn't that far off of where he needed to be for like those kind of those benchmark numbers. Mm-hmm. And now you look at it, you go, boy, I don't know if Salvador Perez is going to get there, you know, with the, what was it, like 27 home runs or whatever he was away from 300 or something like that. We thought, boy, he could possibly get that this year. But he is slowed to a screeching halt right now in that home run department. As you mentioned, it's been a month since this guy's hit a home run. So 25 home runs left. Yeah, so he started the season at 27 away from 300. He's got 25 to go. I thought he'd probably get close to that this year and maybe spill it in the next year. At this rate, he's not going to get those 300 home runs, and that shouldn't keep him out of the Hall of Fame. Everybody finishes their career, for the most part, slow. It's going to happen to Patrick Mahomes, too.
63 RBI, 25 home runs. So that's where he's
63
at.
For 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. It's so close.
He's a career 266 hitter. He's hitting 213. That's significantly lower. That's the tough. He slugs for a career 454. He's currently slugging 317. To give it more perspective, he's a career 756 OPS. He's currently with OPS of 566. He's 200 points down, or almost 100 points down in average.
Yeah, 53 points in batting average from 266 to 213. That's insane. I mean, that's the one that jumps out. It's not necessarily the power numbers. It's the no numbers.
Yeah, he's 53 points lower for his batting average. So not 100. That's harsh.
Gosh.
It's tough, man. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's something where it's like, hey, man, do you need a day? You want to take? Because he's not going to say yes. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe that's just where you have to kind of step up and be like, hey.
Well, that's up to Q to go in no there. Doubt. You're not playing today, man. Sorry. No, or maybe the day off.
Or maybe Sal has that Will Smith moment from last year where he goes up to Q and says, hey, Skip, I need some time.
Yeah.
It ain't me right now. Let Freddie get in there and spark something up.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, usually athletes don't realize that they got to be told. The Will Smith thing, I think, is more of an anomaly than anything.
Huge.
You know, and then you have the Gilmesh situation. I mean,
anomaly.
We've had two big anomalies here in that, and now we think that's reality. You know, just like, oh, this Chiefs run is going to continue. That's normal. No, it's an anomaly that's going on right now. But the athletes are never going to wave the white flag. They have to be told that they need that time off. And that's where Q has to come in as the manager and say, hey, man, we're going to give you a day. It's okay. We love you. You're still Salvi. But we think, hey, you need a couple of days off. Who doesn't every once in a while?
A lot of people hate the same stuff over and over again, the repetitive stories. I think it's the same story, just a different year when it comes to the competitors of the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs obviously will be the number one focus for a lot of people. No questions there. Why? To me, it's still the same four as it was last year. I just don't know how much strength is behind those four numbers. But it's Buffalo. This is my opinion. I don't speak for the entire show. I'm just letting people know that. I think it's Buffalo. I think it's Baltimore. I think it's Houston. And I think it's Cincinnati. Houston, here's why. That division, they're going to be a contender because they're going to get in the playoffs. I think they have a quarterback that you can trust enough. They have a quarterback wide receiver combination that's lethal and deadly in Nico Collins and CJ Stroud. Their defense is decent. D'Amico Ryans has got that team under his belt. That's a contender.
And you're playing in a division right now that's basically the AFC West when Mahomes took over.
Yeah.
You know, which is a hot mess of garbage.
Lost.
And you've got the best quarterback coach combination by far. in that division, you ought to run roughshod over the AFC South.
Yeah. And then I think Baltimore, for the obvious, right? We don't really need to dive into why Baltimore's a contender. It's,
great
it's
head coach,
Baltimore.
Quarterback combination,
no
too.
Doubt. Buffalo, hello.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's the teams are starting to spring up in the AFC East. We'll see what the Dolphins are. We'll see what New England can be. And then we know what the Jets will be.
Yeah.
And then there's Cincinnati, in my opinion. I think Cincinnati will always be a contender because we talk about contenders in these teams. Buffalo has Josh Allen. Baltimore has Lamar Jackson. Houston has CJ Stroud. And Cincy has Joe Burrow. I think the one thing that you have to be a contender is a quarterback that you can trust to go out there and be productive. All four of those teams have that.
And I'll back off from Cincinnati a little bit on this one, because while they do have Joe Burrow, he still has to overcome an incompetent organization. And that is very hard to do. You can be a great player and have to try to overcome incompetence in your office. Imagine, you know, whatever your job is, and you have management that doesn't allow you to do the things necessary to have success at your job. They make you take the hard route to everything, right? And that's where Joe Burrow is in Cincinnati. I mean, you've got your star defensive player fighting with the organization, Joe Burrow backing the star defensive player, so he's kind of anti-organization right now. Zach Taylor has been listed as, what, 21 as the best coach in the NFL, so his rose has fallen off the bloom, if you will, in Cincinnati. And I think they've invested their money wrong in the wide receivers, and I think they had that window that was open. And because of the way that they acted, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are never letting them through the window again. So they had that chance. They blew that chance in the Super Bowl. I don't know. I'm very...
on the fence?
Not on the fence. I'm very interested to see how Cincinnati responds. I think they're going to be an intriguing team this year, but I don't know if it's going to be for the good.
But not a contender?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I think, A, they're in a hard division right now with Baltimore in it. I find like...
Well, Cleveland's going to suck and Pittsburgh's falling apart.
Well, yeah, unless they get Aaron.
So, I mean, yeah, go 500 against Cincinnati, take care of... Or go against Baltimore, take care of... Which Joe Burrow can't beat Cleveland, which is weird.
It's strange, yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know.
But so I don't know. I think for me, the jury's out on Cincinnati. I just think this Trey Hendrickson thing is going to run deeper than many people believe. There's going to be a lot of animosity there, and I'm just kind of reading the tea leaves on this one. And when something doesn't feel right or smell right, you know, it's probably not right. And that's kind of where I feel with Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's fair. I think there's two true contenders besides the Chiefs, and that's Buffalo and Baltimore. You can make your order. And then I think it's Cincinnati. I would not put Houston there. Okay. I'm out on Houston this year. I think the Tank Dell loss is huge. And, you know, it's a red flag. It's like when you talk about a quarterback prospect and the first thing you mention is like, dude, he's 6'6". And that's all you talk about for like 30 seconds, how big he is. We talked about Houston. 90% of what we just said was their division sucks. That doesn't mean you're a contender.
But you get into the playoffs and anything can happen, too.
Yeah, but is C.J. Stroud beating, let's just say he has to beat two of Nettle, C.J. Stroud consecutive beating Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, or Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, or Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes? I don't see that.
I don't know that he beats Allen and Mahomes, but I can, I mean, what is, and I'm a Lamar apologist, what has he done in the playoffs? I think he has the same amount of postseason wins as C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud or Justin Herbert?
Well, I'm going Stroud. That's just me. How many wins does Lamar have in the playoffs? I mean, it's more
probably,
than two,
yeah, probably
right?
Four,
five.
But it's not. I mean, well, CJ
wasn't
Stroud,
he 5-7 last year?
Was he 5-7?
He was under 500. I know that.
I know that. Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's our guy. poll question.
Yeah.
Who do you consider the biggest rivalry to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West? Denver, Raiders, Chargers.
Wow.
It's a debate going around the office. We want to know because we think there's a generational gap between two teams. We come back the other side. We'll ask Binkley some of the same questions we just talked about, because Jay Binkley, he'll join the show next here on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, yeah, baby. the norm that's still alive and kicking and going well. Jake yeah. Binkley of 96.5 The Fan joins us now. Bink, what's good, my man?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
We're all right. We're good, man. Is Norm, was he one of your idols as George Went passed away yesterday with all his Kansas City ties and whatnot? Like, is Norm one of your idols, Jay?
Yeah, I would put him in top five sitcom characters of all time because there was just nothing better than Norm. He kind of symbolized what we all are, you know, as far as back in the day, getting off work, going to the bar. I still like going. You go, like, find that bar stool. They know what beer you want. You go sit down and have it. But that was Norm. Every time he walked in to the bar, he said, "Hey, Norm." And he's like, "Give me a tall one. I'll see if I like it." You know, always joking around. But
right. That
was just always his thing every day, going in and having a beer. So Norm is definitely a top five of my all-time sitcom characters.
You do realize he was fictional, right?
He was?
Yes. Oh, that wasn't real, Jay.
I always heard that beer, because it wasn't legal to, like, drink actual beer on sitcoms back in the day, that was like some kind of colored water or something they were drinking.
Yeah.
It really is sad when you think about it.
Sounds like Casamigos. Seriously, look it up. They're getting sued.
Oh, I know they are. Yes.
Binkley, I know you're not a tequila guy, but you're a baseball guy. Let's talk about the Royals real quick. Do you think Salvi needs today and tomorrow, obviously in the off day, to take off because of what he can do at Target Field, maybe get the confidence back? Because it looks like he's struggling, my man.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind doing that, but yeah, getting him right. And I heard Denny Matthews on with Carrington the other day said, give him till June 20th to figure out what's wrong with Sal, but always wait a week, make
the
a decision.
And
what's that?
I said June 20th is roughly the first day of summer, right?
Yeah, so just Denny says wait till then, so you wait till then. Denny's always putting these marks on wait till June 1st or June 20th, so I would do it. But yeah, Target Field's where he has his confidence because he absolutely dominates in Minnesota. But, man, they need him. It's weird thinking that going into yesterday, the Royals had the second most wins in the American League. I mean, despite the base running problems, despite the hitting and all that, they're still right there. That's why I hated to see him lose that window, because these pro teams have this short window where you got to win. It's like 49ers. You know, they had an opportunity when they were paying Brock Purdy Mr. Relevant money, but they didn't win. They didn't cash in. Now they're paying him all this money. Good luck paying everybody else on the team, because you're paying your quarterback. But these windows shut really close in professional sports really quickly, and hopefully the Royals not wasting the best pitching staff maybe all time we've seen with Kansas City Royals.
It definitely is trending that way. And speaking of windows closing, we were talking last segment about legit contenders in the AFC. I think the window's closing on the Bengals a little bit. Where do you stand on who legit contenders are in the AFC for the Chiefs and kind of that Bengal window?
You know what? Let's wait till June 20th, Bob. No, as far as the Bengals, I do believe in their offense. I mean, their offense was crazy good last year. The defense, I mean, they drafted guys. I'm a little bit skeptical. I mean, who knows what the draft's going to be? You have to really grade it back in 3 years. That's why Pete Prisco regraded the 2022 draft
right. And
gave the Chiefs an A-plus when they had an A, because you have to give it a couple years to see. But if they can fix this defense and just turn it around, they lost some close games last year. I don't think it's done because of the quarterback, Burrow. Well, I'm very curious to see what they do on defense, and this deal with Trey Hendrickson is not helping them out. But I would still consider the Bengals a contender in the AFC.
Do you think that I'm with you. Do you think that contender starts with having a legit quarterback? Because we all know that Joe Burrow is a legit quarterback. I know some people want to hate him in Kansas City because of whatever he is to them, but is that where contenders start, is to have a legit quarterback? Because if that's the case, would you consider the Chargers a contender?
100%, but the Chargers just always find a way not to win with their quarterback. So I'm curious to see. I think Jim Harbaugh is a good combination with Justin Herbert, because he's had three head coaches, and finally he's got a coach who was a former NFL quarterback, so he can help him out in that direction. They're definitely helping him out in the run game, but I still think the Chargers are a legitimate team with Justin Herbert. Now, are they as good as the Chiefs? No, I don't think so. But I do think when you have that quarterback, you know, you can basically piece it around. If you need to bring in a different head coach or whatever, you work on one side of the ball. But that offense with Ja'Marr Chase and Burrow, that combination, is lethal. I think it's dumb they paid T. Higgins all that money when they should have concentrated 100% on defense, but not yet ready to give up on the Bengals. They're still a salty team last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think because they do have the quarterback, it does keep them legit, but paying T. Higgins, I'm in lockstep with you on that, with the paying of T. Higgins. I saw a tweet this morning from Ian Rapport, and he was talking about the tush push potentially being banned today, which...
Double banned.
Yeah.
I'm
over banning everything in the NFL because teams are having success. It's weak. It really is. It's pathetic that this is the route we're going down now. Your thoughts on the tush push being banned, pushing players being banned, this new rule change that looks like it's going to pass?
Well, it's weird too, because when it first went out, when they first talked about it in the last league meetings, 16 teams were for it, 16 teams were against it. Now, I was always curious, and was talking about the fact, okay, if they put the ban the tush push, are they going to ban the other stuff too? Because by the letter of the law, you can't push players. So if it doesn't matter behind the line of scrimmage, what about before the line of scrimmage? And the Chiefs, you know, obviously they could have been a team that's really against the tush push because they had to see it in the Super Bowl. But the thing about it is the Chiefs are so good when they have that mobile center in Creed Humphrey. You got Trey Smith out there. Even Kelsey was doing it to some extent. But you go back and watch the Chiefs last year, there was a ton of plays where Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith was pushing Pacheco forward or Kareem Hunt. They were pushing him into the end zone. So this play would affect the Chiefs too. If they ban the tush push, it's not just a tush push, but you got to put the language in. You can't push anybody, regardless where on the field. I think that hurts the Chiefs because the Chiefs are very good at this compared to other teams because their guards and center are so fluid and mobile and get outside the pocket, and they're able to, you know, not push the quarterback, but they're able to push the running back and receivers forward. So I saw the Chiefs doing that a lot last year. So I think it would hurt the Kansas City Chiefs as well. But I was always skeptical about the language because – if they do ban pushing the quarterback, they would have to ban pushing everybody else as well, which clearly the Packers put in the language. I'd be surprised if teams went for this because teams are really utilizing this. I mean, all across the league, when a running back is a yard short or whatever and he's fighting in a pile, the linemen get behind him and push him forward. But all teams do this. So it shouldn't be banned. I'm surprised it will be with the new language because so many teams were against it anyway. 16 teams didn't even want to ban it. So, yeah, but according to Rappaport, I mean, he's got his ears to the ground that it'll be banned today, and that's disappointing because I don't think they should ban it.
Binkley, I know you like to – you're like me. We like to wrap ourselves in the flag when it comes to the Olympics, and now the chance that football is going to be in the Olympics. What does Binkley love about flag football being brought into the Olympics?
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad they're going to have a chance to do it. I mean, we see pro basketball players get a chance to get a gold medal. We see pro hockey players because the pro hockey players were in the Olympics. Then they were out of it there for a while, and they had the college players playing back in the Olympics. Now the next Olympics, they'll be back in, so the pro hockey players get a chance to get the gold medal. We see golfers get it. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, they're gold medal winners for the United States. Mm-hmm. I think it's great to give the NFL guys a chance, or at least let them compete for it and be in it if that's what they want. Because I'll say this, is there 100% guarantee it'll be all NFL players on the team? Maybe, maybe not. I will say this, I've seen flag football teams beat Pro Bowl players because for years they had the flag football best team in the country play against like the Pro Bowl players. And typically the Pro Bowl players would sometimes lose to those players because they're so good in the timing and they play together all the time, the chemistry. You get these pro players that never played together playing. They're just kind of behind the eight ball. But 31 countries participated across the globe as far as the last flag football championships. The Americans won, but the Americans won it without the pros in it. But if these guys want an opportunity to represent their country, and it's the best of the best, I've always been a fan of playing the best of the best.
Yeah.
So if the NFL players are the best of the best, or just the guys that make a career playing flag football, make the team. It'll be a team made up of 10 players, but I'm 100% for it. If they want to represent their country, they should be able to do it. There's no reason the elite of the elite athletes in the United States can't compete for the Olympics. So I'm 100% for it, 100% for them being in the pool to be in the Olympics if that's what they want to do. But I think this is a great decision, and it speaks volumes that all 32 NFL teams were on the same page.
Well,
they all voted for putting flag football in the Olympics. But I'm 100% for it. Now, just you see a guy and say, oh, he's going to be a great flag football player. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see how they do. Some guys just don't translate to that type of game. But, the Justin Jeffersons of the world, they're excited to go play for the United States. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. It'll be during training camp a little bit there for teams. They're going to put all these stipulations in there for injuries and have injury clauses for these players. Not only that, but a credit back to the team if the player's hurt in the Olympics, so it won't hurt them against the salary cap. So they're trying to cover their bases with all those. But I think with the NFL's initiative and flag football and everything else, putting it on the global stage like that is perfect. We see some silly things in the Olympics, so why not put football players on it?
So you're a fan of this?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
100%.
Okay.
All right,
I'm 100% a fan. I'm 100% a fan of these guys getting an opportunity to win a gold medal, because why not? Why shouldn't they? We see other pro athletes, as I said, make it to the Olympics and get a chance. But
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
These guys want to represent their country. Let them try out for it. I'm 100% for the NFL doing this.
Love that. Binkley, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Take it easy, my man, and enjoy these Royals at 2:45 today.
All right. All right, by the way,
yeah.
How funny was it last weekend seeing the Yankees fans boo Juan Soto and get T-shirts? Because for decades, we've had to sit there and watch the Yankees poach our players, but yet they want to cry when Soto goes to the Mets.
You love to see it, honestly.
You love to see the meltdown of Soto, actually, more so.
No, I do, too. I'm no fan of Juan Soto, but it is funny watching Yankees fans boo him and get the T-shirts and everything else, seeing a guy leave their team for more money when for decades we've seen our guys leave to go to the Yankees and make more money. It was just kind of funny.
I don't know that I've ever seen a player melt down on a field like that, though.
No, he melted down, but the booing of Juan Soto was funny. It was funny seeing Yankees fans so vile getting T-shirts and booing Juan Soto. Then for decades, the Yankees have stolen players from other teams. So it's just funny.
Did they? Or are they just doing? Or are they just following in the business of baseball? We got to go, Jay.
All right, guys.
Take care. My goodness.
I got a tease for you, Dusty. There's actually one coach that's not happy about this football stuff, and he's already come out and said it, and it's not going to make his quarterback happy.
Might be Tony Dungy. No?
Could be.
Okay. Well, another coach finally got a ring as well without Tom Brady. We discuss here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.